not make yourselves too comfortable. Go on in and fall asleep.
We're witnesses through today's gospel to the healing of two blind men. And through this life-changing encounter in which Christ's power is in full evidence, we're advanced in our understanding of healing and of salvation. Responding to their plea for mercy, the God of mercy, the only true lover of mankind, Jesus Christ, receives the two blind men into his presence, and he heals them. But Jesus doesn't perform this great miracle randomly. Rather, like the healing of the paralytic last week, we're taught a lesson in faith and healing that is also applicable to our own need for Christ's healing as well. To paraphrase St. John Chrysostom, Christ doesn't run after those in need of healing everywhere, lest anyone think that he's healing out of vainglory. No, there's more at work here. Christ's healing presupposes also a participation, a cooperation from those who desire that healing. Just as our relationship and communion with him necessitates a participation on our part, by definition, a return of love, an act of repentance, an abandonment of self-will, so to our healing bespeaks a reciprocal relationship. In fact, in most of the healings that we see in the Gospels, those in need of healing personally seek out that healing from Christ. In other words, they desire their healing. They desire more from God. They desire salvation. They desire their healing enough to seek Christ out, to entrust themselves to him, to acknowledge their need for him. They desire healing enough to step forward in faith, recognizing that God alone is worthy of their trust. The two blind men seek out Jesus in this way. They follow him. They cry out to him, "Son of David, have mercy on us." These two men know the source of mercy. They know that God alone can give such mercy, such a miraculous healing. To test their faith further, though, Jesus asks them, even after such a demonstration of faith, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And they say to him, "Yes, Lord." But note what Christ says in response after touching their eyes. "According to your faith, let it be to you." According to your faith, let it be to you. Do you see the involvement of their souls, of their wills, the relationship with God, which Christ God develops between them and him? Their volition, their will, was to be healed of their physical infirmity, their blindness. But it demanded great faith from them. It demanded the eyes of faith and the strength of soul. Even still, Jesus does not heal everyone today. Not everyone receives physical healing. It remains a mystery. To some, like St. Paul, who petitioned God to remove the thorn from his flesh, God's response was, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." In other words, there was something about that thorn, whatever it was, that St. Paul needed if he was to trust God for his strength, if he was to humble himself before him, if he was to serve God in the amazing extent that he did, converting whole nations to the truth of God and his salvation. "My power is made perfect in weakness." While our physical healing necessarily involves our will, our souls, the inverse is also true. The spiritual healing of our souls involves our bodies, also our volition and our participation. When it comes to healing our eternal souls, we know that God desires this above all else. He calls all to salvation from sin sickness, from spiritual sickness. And this is how we understand sin in the Orthodox context. We call sin sickness because it takes us away from our life source, from our Creator, the one who loves us, the one who has mercy on us, the one who, above all, desires our salvation. The truth is that all of us are to one degree or another sin sick. That is, we're works in progress. As St. Paul says, we must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. If we're to grow in our relationship and communion with God, to be deified and find spiritual healing, which is salvation in Jesus Christ. And God gives us a sure and prescribed path toward our healing, our growth and salvation through His church. He teaches us how to pray through the church. He feeds us with the sacrament through His church. He teaches us the disciplines of the ascetic life, fasting and prayer through the church. And He gives us confession through the church as a means to be purified, to renew our baptism, so that we may continue to learn and entrust more of ourselves to Him who alone is the great physician. And through these tools, you and I progress in our knowledge and love of God. This progress in the knowledge and love of God is never meant to be static. It's always meant to be something active. It's never status quo. To be deified, we cannot be couch potato or armchair Christians. It never works that way. We can never stay in the same place, but it's easy to fall into a rut. It's easy to prefer our own opinions and our own ways over those of the church, listening to the culture instead of Christ, taking orthodoxy on our terms. But brothers and sisters, that's not Christianity. And it won't bring us the healing that you and I need. One of the foremost tools that Christ gives us through His church to find that healing from our spiritual sickness, to continue to grow into the likeness of Christ, is the sacrament of repentance, confession, and subsequent reception of the Eucharist. For this reason, the Holy Church encourages us toward frequent confession so that we may also enjoy the benefits and make the most of frequent reception of the Eucharist, which is also called, in the language of the Church, the medicine of immortality, because it unites us with Christ Himself and heals our souls, but only if we receive in faith and with due preparation and through purification, which is itself part of that medicine. Confession and reception, the Church teaches us, go hand in hand. The prayers for reception of the Eucharist presuppose this, presuppose confession and its purification as a preparation for worthily receiving Christ's precious and holy body and blood. And so through all of this, we see that our healing in soul demands something of our material bodies, our time, our energy, our worship, our prayers, our heartfelt repentance, and turning to Christ God, just as the two blind men did, and cried out to Him, Lord, have mercy on us. By the power of the Holy Spirit working through the sacrament of confession, we learn the root causes of the sins that cause us to stumble. that cause us and others sadness, that reveal the root causes of our pride, often linked to fear and self-dependence. And we grow in confidence in our identity and our self-worth in Christ, in who we are as Christ God's beloved sons and daughters. And we begin to peel away the onion layers of our souls to the very heart of our struggles, the passions and self-will that would otherwise hold us back. Confession is truly, then, a gift from God. But this kind of soul-searching demands humility, a willingness on our part to seek healing from God, a willingness on our part that is necessary, that is our yes to God. We have to spend time in prayer and self-examination and worship to make the most of the sacrament and the healing and growth that God would offer us through it. Our ongoing willingness to be healed, to progress in our healing, is an integral part of our salvation. We're saved through our belief, our faith that manifests itself through our actions and deeds, the living out of that faith. Faith and works go hand in hand, as St. James teaches us. We cannot afford to lay aside our struggle with sin and our obedience to what Christ teaches us through his church. Christ asks the blind men, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" And so we too have been given and shown the way if we would make use of it. My prayer for each one here is that we would continue to make use of the tools of our salvation which Christ offers us through his church for our growth, for our healing, for our salvation. And as we grow individually and corporately in our reflection of Christ and the kingdom, others will find their healing and salvation in Christ as well, through our example. May we each cultivate the attitude of soul and the cooperation of body to follow Christ with all that we have, all that we are, crying out to him as did the blind men, "Lord, have mercy on us," knowing that he is the Lord who loves us and indeed has mercy on our souls. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to him forever.
If you are an Orthodox Christian visiting with us today, or a member of this church, and you've prepared through prayer and fasting this morning, and have made a recent confession, please prepare to receive the gifts with us this morning.